Hello, everyone. I'm Sheriff Shaheen. I work as Enterprise SDR at Deel. It's a pleasure to be here with you on the SDR Game podcast.
Sheriff joins us today to share his playbook on cold calling. He's made more than 100,000 cold calls in his career, and in 2023, he created 3.5 million in pipeline at Deel. If you are looking to learn about cold calling from a top performing SDR, this episode is for you. Welcome to the SDR Game podcast. I'm Eric, your host. I'm here to help you grow faster in your sales career and create more pipeline. I wish I had this podcast when I started as an SDR, and I've been in tech sales since 2018. I've been a top performing SDR at 4 different tech companies and leading SDR teams for the past 2 years. Today, we chat with Sheriff about using cold calling to get more meetings, how to prep your cold calling sessions, the anatomy of a great cold call, and how to measure your cold calling success. Let's get started. Sheriff, super excited to have you today. Before we talk about Deel specifically, could you take us back to your early days? Something you mentioned to me was you are making between 200 and 300 calls per day as a telemarketer. What were the key lessons you learned about approaching and speaking to people and during making those cold calls?
Yeah, so it was actually one of the more interesting times of my life because I was very new to sales and I had no clue basically of how it would go, if this was even a career I would actually want to continue in. But yeah, I started in telemarketing. I was selling lottery tickets to consumers on the phone. So we were selling dreams basically. And it was like, you get a script, you have a dialer. You don't do the prospecting yourself. It's just a dialer calling numbers for you. There's no LinkedIn or emails, and that kind of outreach was purely cold calling. And it was a very lucrative period of my life in terms of knowledge, because besides what I learned about cold calling, like how to actually conduct the cold call, how to work with your tonality, how to try to close the sale immediately on the phone, my mindset shifted completely from that time. Like just this thing that you can actually, the harder you work, the more you can earn, and you can actually, whatever you want to achieve is possible if you put in the right work. But yeah, a lot of learnings on a personal level, but also on a professional level. But it was mainly, I would say, the key thing I took from that period was the mindset I got from doing that amount of cold calls and getting those amount of rejections. You can imagine doing so many calls a day, a lot of rejections, a lot of objections to deal with. I think what I learned there is still, I'm still benefiting from it during my job at Deel as a SDR. I'm still learning, obviously, so yeah.
You are talking about mindset. What thing that you learn specifically about mindset? You are talking about rejection. Are you talking about rejection? How to face rejection during cold calls or something else?
This thing with being resilient and actually being assertive, like when you believe in something and you see there is a value and it's just about keep doing it and keep going and keep working. And don't like not letting rejections and things that you cannot affect or you cannot control actually influence how you think. So, you know, it was really a lesson for me in terms of mindset, like how imagine, you know, you're making those calls every day and some days you would go like at the end of the day, you'd made no sale at all. And the team lead would actually try to push you like, hey, there's a new day tomorrow. Just keep doing. You're doing the right things. And sometimes like there's some adjustments you need to make. So every day, like working and getting better and getting better until there is a break point, obviously, where you actually nail how to make the cold call and how to deal with those amount of rejections. And just this thing with rejections, I think it's very interesting because like I've learned now, I've been in sales for 7 years. I've been cold calling for 7 years. And I've seen that rejections will be there always. There is no call. There is no sales call without a rejection or objection. So you got to learn how to deal with it, not to avoid it. It's more about getting better so you can actually deal with those kind of things during your job.
A good point you mentioned here, because that's something actually a rejection is going to happen anyway. And something what you can control on rejection is embracing the rejection, knowing it's going to happen. So that's something that you need to learn. So you started to talk about a deal. And today we're going to obviously talk more about your after cold calling for us for the past 7 years. So I know you have been at Deel for the past few months. Now you're on the enterprise team. How did your approach to cold calling evolve, and what strategy did you adopt as an enterprise this year?
From my background, it was a very transactional sales cycle. So telemarketing, consumer market, it was closing on the first call, maybe the second call in sometimes, but usually the first call. And then going into an SDR role and then enterprise, it turned more into being like a consultant and build relationships and learning about the accounts and really try to understand if what we're doing at Deel is actually could potentially help them with some stuff or with the problems we actually solve. So going like that transition was very interesting for me, because I was used to a certain type of sales calls, and then I went into the SDR role, and it was more about being building relationships, connecting with people, learning, qualifying, disqualifying, speaking with people that have no influence at all, but they could give you information that you could leverage in reaching out to decision makers and be like, hey, I know this about your payroll processes or whatever. We could actually help you out. We've helped other customers. So that transition, I think in the beginning, I still had, when I first went into SDRing, which was not a deal, I had a previous SDR job, I still had that transactional mindset. But then after a couple of weeks, I realized I have to be more strategic and actually be more relationship building in how I approach my prospects.
Something you mentioned about, for example, talking to end users to get information to talk to the decision maker. I think that's something I'm seeing a lot of SDR. We are struggling with that, especially on the enterprise segment, because when you join and the enterprise team, generally you still have this transactional mindset of, I need to call the decision maker. But the problem with enterprise, I think there are so many people who try to do the same thing. And when you are not ready to talk to the decision maker, what's happening basically, the SDR is not ready to talk to the decision maker, and cold calling a decision maker won't work because, one, they didn't do research and they don't know what's relevant for them in this context. So I think that's, especially what you mentioned here, it's super key for the audience who want to start going after enterprise accounts.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely like, the thing with cold calling is it's more of a long-term game, especially if you're in sales development and targeting bigger accounts. So you need to really be picking like, who should you talk to, and have the right expectations as well. Like when I call somebody, not that I expect to book a meeting immediately. It's always, I try to have a conversation. I try to learn about them. And then booking a meeting is usually like, okay, if I find there is a potential fit, then I actually be like, hey, we could actually help you out. We've helped similar customers with the same problems you face. So why don't we book a 30-minute call and discover that together? But to get to that point, there is a lot of pre-work you need to make in order to actually get to the point of earning the right of asking for the meeting, basically.
And that makes a great segue, actually, to talk about that. So I'm curious to understand, could you walk us through the anatomy of a successful cold call? What do you include on your cold calls?
My goal is always to have a conversation, right? Or that's my general goal, is to have a conversation. I have that expectation for myself. So when I call, I always have this curiosity approach, trying to really understand if there is a potential fit and you know, asking the right questions, saying the right things. Like how I structure my cold calls, or what I really try to focus on, is mainly like trying to find the pain, like peeling the onion all the time and trying to find if there is a pain. I know there's methodologies and qualification methods, like, yeah, you need to find out if this is a decision maker, or if they have the budget and these kind of things. But I think when you're outbounding on a cold call, it might be hard to find out if you have a budget or not, right? And it's a bit scary to ask that question in the first interaction. So it's always about finding the pain, because if there is pain, that might actually drive the opportunity until it being a closed deal, right? So finding a pain and trying to qualifying that is always my goal, and it's by having conversations. So and then when it comes to cold calling, and maybe we'll go more into that, but it you need to do the right things in order to earn the right to actually ask questions about their pain points, right? So you need to be relevant. You need to make sure that you're saying something that resonates with the person you're speaking to. Like just pitching what we do, I find it not working so well, because you sound like any other salespeople and you sound salesy. So I try to avoid that and be more curious trying to learn about the accounts. Like, hey, I'm curious. You have all these international teams. Curious to understand, like, how do you run payroll? What kind of solutions do you have? So that's my kind of approach and way of doing it.
So how do you do that? So you are talking about focusing on the pain, but before that, you are focusing on being relevant to your prospects. So do you do any research? Earlier, you are talking about cold calling, for example, an end user and getting some information, and then you call the decision maker. So what's your process?
Yeah, so it's different from account to account. Like some accounts you can really find very good information online on the internet, and some accounts you really have to speak to people in order to gain information. So doing research is obviously part of my workflow, because when you call someone and you want to be relevant, then you have to say something that will resonate with them. So and luckily, like at Deel, for example, we know that if there is a company having international teams, international payroll is usually a challenge for them. So that's one point. But then also trying to find, like, where do they have these teams? How many people are there? Trying to find what kind of HR systems do they use? So that's kind of the pre research. And then when you're calling to end users, to be like, hey, as you work with payroll, for example, now, these are the typical challenges. What's your process look like? And these end users are usually more open to tell you, like, hey, we do it this way, it's our problems, we're actually implementing this, or we have this project going on. They're more open to speak to you because they're not so heavily targeted by salespeople. But when you have that information, then you can actually go to a decision maker. They can even sometimes give you a referral, like, hey, actually speak to this person. That's the right one to talk to. So then you can just, it's more of a warm intro, like, I was speaking to your colleague. They told me this, this and that. I think we can help you.
You just make also another good point that we didn't talk about earlier, about going after enterprise accounts also is knowing who you should talk with, because if you go after an account, a cold account with no information, it's really hard to know who's the right person, because even though you have the titles or you can find on LinkedIn, you still don't know if it's the right person. But the way you are approaching it, it's doing an account mapping of the account, so you know who to talk to. Because I was, I don't remember with who we were talking about this, but we are talking about, for example, if you prospect Amazon as an account, Amazon, they might have like 10,000 salespeople, for example, if you sell to salespeople. But who is the right person to talk about, for example, if you sell a sales tool inside this company? It's not like you can go talk to every sales operation manager, because you don't know who will be the right person. So you need to have like your champion, maybe not your champion, but more like an end user who can help you start mapping the account.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's crucial for especially targeting bigger accounts, because as I said, you have the titles, but they have like, as I said, 10,000 people working in sales, or in my case, in HR. So knowing who's the right person is just that, takes a lot of work to get to the right person, knowing who's the right person. So yeah, it's really about this, you know, every call I make or every email I send, even if I don't get a meeting, if I get something out of it, that's a win for me, as long as I can leverage it into the next outreach. And then eventually you'll get to the right person and you'll hit the spot, and then you'll just ask for the meeting. And it will be hard for them to resist you, because you have that so much information and you know about their pay points, like so many things. And then eventually you can discuss more on it. Demo call or a meeting, first meeting. So yeah,
something you mentioned also here, it's having the mindset. Also, a lot of SDRs also, it's they're only focusing on booking the meeting, instead of, like you are mentioning, about even though you don't book the meeting, even though if you get some information, it's still a win for you, because you can still leverage that later. Because like you said, for example, if you know which tool they're using, then or you find any pain from, I don't know, an end user, that's still something relevant for you, because you can still use that with someone else.
Yeah, definitely. It's you know, it's always about this, as I said, peeling the onion, finding the pain, digging into the account. The more you know, the better. And I think even passing an opportunity over to the AE, I think they appreciate it highly when you have all this information. So when they even enter the demo, they'd be like, hey, you spoke to Sheriff. This is the information I have from him. Like, you know, I think the call is much more kind of inviting for the prospect when you know so much about them, rather than just be like, hey, this is what we do. We're best at this. We're the market leader, blah, blah, blah. But they're thinking like, okay, what's this in for me? Like, good for you. What's my win on this?
Because you're focusing on them and their problems and not just talking about you. It's one, you want to see if it's, like you were saying, being relevant. And because if they don't have pain, what's the point of having a conversation with them? It's they're not going to buy. But if they have a pain, that makes more sense for them to have a conversation. So
yeah, definitely. So pain. That's always it's a 3 P's kind of.
And what's the most common objection you get on cold calls, and how do you handle it?
So obviously it's the common ones in the beginning, like I don't have time, or we're satisfied with our current solution, or I'm not interested. Majority of the times, these are not really objections in the sense that you can handle them. Like, okay, let's put it like this. When you get an objection early on, it's more just because you're a salesperson, not because what you're offering is not relevant. That's how I see it. So I have like a rule for myself. I don't let a person go until I get at least 3 no's. So three rejections, and then at least have a 1 minute conversation. So, and that's more of a training I learned back in my telemarketing days, that in order to get comfortable on the phone, you need to actually try to keep the prospect on the phone as long as possible. So I still practice that, and I find it very good, because then you're kind of forcing yourself to say something, and sometimes it works, sometimes you get the 3 no's and then it's fine. Not everybody is a buyer, not everybody will is a good fit, but at least you've given, like you've tried, and you've given it a shot. So those kind of objections, I'm not interested, we're satisfied with our current solution. When I get them in the beginning, I'm like, okay, I understand you're not interested. I'm calling you out of the blue. This might not be a priority for you, but I was just researching and I saw you have international teams. These are usually some problems, and I was just curious to understand if you can relate to this or not. And when they say we're satisfied, like, okay, I was not expecting you to actually be dissatisfied. But there is always room for improvement, and I'm curious to know if we could actually improve your workflow or if this is not relevant at all. So kind of being understanding when you get an objection and validating their objection, and then, you know, spinning further on your arguments and why you actually called and why you think it's relevant to have a conversation.
So let's say they are saying they are satisfied with their current vendor. So you mentioned that you are focusing on there is still room for improvement, for example. So because you imagine you already know your competitors, do you focus on the pain you are solving that your competitors don't? Or what's your approach with competitors specifically?
So with competitors, like now obviously I've learned about our competitors and the call feedback, like we have customers from our competitors that they transition to Deel because of certain things, and they're pretty common. So usually they say we're satisfied with our current provider. If I know already which provider that is, then I'll go immediately into these points. Okay, these are some problems or challenges customers have with this provider. But if I don't know, I'll try to find out and then go with the same approach. Like, okay, so you're using this provider. I understand, like, some customers that are using Deel now mentioned that maybe, like, just as an example, there's slow support, there are a lot of hidden costs, the solution is not as user friendly as they expect it to be. Is this something that you also can you know sense, or is it perfectly working on those parts? And usually, you know, when you're asking questions in that sense, with being relevant and kind of acting as an expert in your field, it builds credibility and trust. And they would be like, okay, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. He knows potential pain points, he might have something that could help me as well. And this comes with experience, right? Like in the beginning, I didn't have that information. I had to practice and had to speak to a lot of prospects and know customers until I could gather that expertise and actually use it in my outreach.
And I had another question around your call success. So how do you track and measure the success of your call? Which metrics are you focusing on?
I'm focusing on the length of the calls, to be honest. Like how long could I keep a prospect on the phone? And then obviously meetings, because, you know, we're in sales development, we got targets and I want to measure how many meetings I could get from my cold calls. But, generally speaking, I usually try to detach from the meeting outcome and more focus on conversation. Because if I am a good conversationalist, then I know if I speak to the right person and I can know how to conduct the conversation, I will eventually book a meeting with this person. That's kind of how I see cold call success.
And earlier, you are actually, if you already talked about the length of your call, so you said 1 minute. What's the role of the 1 minute? So you want to, if you are, you speak at least 1 minute, is it like a successful call, or what's your approach?
I wouldn't say it's a successful call, but because if you can keep them for at least 1 minute, then you've gotten at least three rejections, and you've made three tries to actually find some form of relevant pain, and you got rejected on all of them, and you're like, okay, I've tried three times. Now I'm getting a bit, you know, I'm a bit pushy. It's fine. 1 minute, three times. Okay, let's go into the next one. So it's more of a rule I have for myself, just to make sure that every person I speak to, I know I've done my best in each call.
Then I had a question, and I think that's pretty common struggle with a lot of people. And actually, I imagine there is a lot of people on the show who are struggling with that. But it's a lot of reps are struggling with the fear and anxiety of cold calling. How have you trained yourself to manage those feelings? And what do you do when you're afraid or feeling anxious about cold calling?
First of all, I think it's very important to accept the fact that you will always have that feeling, right? There is no way to actually get rid of it, or no matter how experienced you become or how many cold calls you've made. Like, I've made over 100K cold calls and I still feel anxious, especially with my first calls in the morning, right? And then you get in the mood of it. That's different. But accepting the fact that it's natural I won't get rid of these feelings. They will be there all the time. And then kind of, you know, being like, okay, if I'm interrupting somebody, because that's usually where the anxiety comes from, that I'm calling someone unexpectedly, I'm interrupting them, they might be busy or doing something else. So I want to make sure that if I'm interrupting their day, I want to make sure it's worth it, right? So I'm not wasting their time for nothing. That's why it comes a lot back to preparation, because you have these calls where you know you can provide value, and then you're not, you know, like you just want them to pick up the phone because you really know that this call will be interesting for them. Whereas you have calls, you're a bit unsure if this is relevant. You don't really know if this will be interesting for them. And I think those are the calls where you feel anxious because you're like, what should I say to this person? Like, I'm calling them now just because they're on my prospecting list, but I don't actually have something of value to give them.
And do you have a routine before making your first call? So are you listening to music? Because I know there is some reps who are, you know, listening to some music before making their cold calling session. So what's your routine before a cold calling session?
I'm a bit outliner or what to call it, but I actually, like, I'm just doing it. So immediately if I find a prospect or I have them in my list, I just press the button, like dial, and I just force myself into the call. I don't like to drag out the anxiety or the fear. You know, if I find, okay, this prospect, I have their number, I know, like, I want to speak to them because I have something that could be interesting for them, I just call them. So I kind of, I know, like, there's motivational videos, music can pump you up. And I was doing that in my early days. We even have like pump up sessions in the morning and stuff, which are good. But now I think with experience, it's more of just doing it. And then, forcing yourself into the dialer. I remember I was on vacation during the summer for like a week. I came back Monday morning and I was really, you know, coming off from vacation. And the first thing I did, I was like, okay, how do I get in the mood of work again? I just called a prospect, you know, it was a shitty call, but just to get in the mood immediately and get rid of those laziness feelings and anxiety, I just called a prospect. So that's kind of how I approach it.
Yeah, I was curious to understand your approach with that because I know it's different for everyone. So interesting to see that. And actually, that's already last question. So what's the most common mistake made by sales reps you've seen with cold calling, and how can they fix this mistake?
There are actually a few from my side. First thing is that you like speaking too much on the phone and not actually taking pauses and give them the space to actually open up and tell that, like, say what they want to say. Because we fear hearing a no, so we just want to say so many things, so many good things that might not even be good, but we just want to fill out the gaps with unnecessary stuff until they be like, hey, this guy's just talking too much. Like this kind of a mistake, getting overexcited and just speaking too much on the call. I think that's a mistake until today. Like, honestly, sometimes, you know, I lose myself. I'm just speaking. And then I found like the prospect's trying to interrupt me, but I'm just, you know, speaking too much. And then at the end, it'd be like, okay, there's no chance to have a conversation, right? So that's one thing, a mistake, like speaking more than I listen, because it's actually when you listen, you learn and you understand that you can find some buying signals. So that's one thing. Another thing was, and I learned that in my telemarketing days, was, you know, when you're making stuff sound complicated, it becomes very hard for prospect or the potential customer to actually say yes, right?
When you say complicated, mean are you saying using complicated words or using like jargon of HR? Or what do you mean?
It's actually what you mentioned, like using complicated words, like buzzword. For example, I'll give you an example. So when I was selling lottery tickets, the way they would actually join the competition was just that we would make a verbal recording on the phone, and then they would get a blanket or a sheet in their to their home. They would fill it in. They would send it back to us, right? And I remember I lost so many customers just by mentioning, like, hey, we're actually making a formal recording that will be recorded, and this would act as a verbal agreement. It sounded very scary for them, right? So they would be like, no, this sounds like a scam. I don't want to make a recording, right? But when I was using words like, we'll just summarize what we agreed on, just so you know what you'll pay for the tickets and how the competition works, they were more open to actually, you know, do this summary. Although it was a recording, but it was just a recording just for the quality department to make sure that this customer actually agreed to get these lottery tickets. So that's what I mean with complicated, right? When you're asking of too much commitment in a cold call, make it sound very complicated. Like, I'll invite an account executive. He's my senior colleague, and he will be demonstrating the platform for you. You know, when you push or when you put so much stuff that sounds a bit scary and too much commitment, I think that's a mistake I've made a lot. And when I started focusing on not doing it, I booked more meetings, I made more sales, and it was just easier. So it comes back to the thing with, it's about how you say things, right? The delivery of your message. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. So it's all about tonality, pace, that kind of stuff.
Sherif, thank you so much for being on the show today. One last thing before we end the episode. Do you have anything else you want to share with the audience?
One thing maybe I would want to end this with is that cold calling is not dead. And, you know, I'm not against emails and LinkedIn. I do it myself. I think it's a great way to reach to customers. But if you really want to learn and evolve as a SDR and as a sales rep and you know, grow personally and professionally, I think doing cold calls is a great way to do it. So don't just see it as a way to book meetings, but it's more it's a way to grow as a salesperson and as a person as well.
And by the way, if I'm talking about cold calling is dead, generally what I've seen with that is, one, there are on LinkedIn people who are selling solutions for cold emailing or LinkedIn, or two, they didn't try enough cold calling and they say that's not working.
Yeah. That's typically it, right?
Sherif, thank you so much for being on the show and for everyone listening. I see you on the next episode.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So for Spotify, to leave a review, what you can do is you can use your phone, then go on the Spotify app. Then you go to the SDR Game page, and then at the top of the page, you can leave a review. It's a 5-star review if you enjoyed the episode, obviously. And then if you are listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, feel free also to leave a review on your app. Thanks for listening, and I see you on the next episode.